So we started this series called Frequently Asked Questions. And so while we began to just really pray through and think through different questions, we really had no idea that every single one of them would be such a hot topic, even right now as we're preaching on them. This is one of the questions that we chose. Do all lives matter? Many of you are aware, unless you have been living under a rock somewhere without any type of news, social media, or television, many months ago, actually it's been happening now, going on for years, where you have, whether it's a policeman, a white policeman who kills a black person, or a black person that gets killed, or a white person that gets killed by a black person, or whatever. And so it started this movement going around where a lot of people started wearing T-shirts that said Black Lives Matter. The African-American community, several of them, started wearing shirts that said Black Lives Matter. Well, then you had people who came out that said, well, I believe that all lives matter. And so then you had this. And so then there's several twists in the media sometimes that cause it to make it look like, well, it's white people against black people and black people against Hispanic people. And it's all of this. Let me just say this, folks. Let me say this up front so you'll know. The only color that matters, we all bleed red. The only color that matters is that blood of Jesus that cleansed us and washes us whiter than snow. Do all lives matter? Yes, all lives matter. Hold on, now listen. But I want to deal with this subject. Do all lives matter? Dealing with racism. And you may be sitting in here this morning and you may say, well, I don't have an issue with racism. I don't have a problem with racism. And I pray to God that's true. But I think deep down in all of us, there's a tendency for all of us to, we can say we don't have a problem with racism, but when we look around this church, we're all white. Except for a few. I love you. Hey, but let me say this. When I deal with a subject like this, I know right now there's tension. Even within our own race, there's racism in there. You have the white collars or the rednecks and white people. You do. Matt Chandler said this. He said, even within the African-American culture, in intra-racial race comments, you had the field Negro and the house Negro. Now, I know what some of you right now are saying, he just said Negro. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Immediately, people begin to say, oh, you can't. And it's because even within our own mixture, in our own culture, there's racism even within our own race. My Uncle Bill. He worked at Ace Hardware in McGee, Mississippi. And he told me that one day this man came in and Uncle Bill was studying his literature, his Sunday school lesson. It was a slow day. And Mr. Ted, the owner there, said that he could do that when nobody was in there. And so he had his Sunday school literature out and he's reading through it. Well, just happened to be during that quarter on the front page of that Sunday school literature was a little black boy. And he was just kind of dancing like in the rain or whatever, but that was just the picture. And this man came in and asked to speak to some people, and he got to look, and he goes, ha, you're going to read that? And Uncle Bill said, what do you mean? He goes, oh, man, we got rid of that in our church. I'm not going to study a Sunday school lesson with a black kid on it. I got a phone call at a church I was pastoring one time, and gentleman asked me, he said this, he said, Brother Chad, I need you to do something for me. I said, what do you mean? He said, I need you to solve an issue with my daughter. This guy was a white guy. I said, what do you mean? He said, she wants to date this Hispanic guy. The pastor? Doesn't the Bible say that we're to come out from among them and be separate? I'm not making it up. I said, let me ask you a question. He said, okay. Would you let your daughter date Asher? Well, of course I would let her date Asher. I mean, yeah. I said, you do know that he is like Asian. You do know that, don't you? Well, yeah, but I said, no buts. No buts whatsoever. Now, just listen to me. Someone along the way had sat that man down and told him, when Paul was quoting Moses about come out from among them, he wasn't talking about races. He was talking about God's chosen holy people coming out from amongst the Canaanites, those who were not chosen, and don't be equal with them. Be separate from them. It had nothing to do with white, black, Hispanic, Asian people. But some preacher or somebody along the line had preached that. And let me just go ahead and say this. I realize that there are several senior adults in here, and I love you because my own family is part of this sometimes. And they say things like this. Well, but back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, I mean, there was just some words you could use because it was just culturally relevant. It was common to say those words. Okay, if we're going to say that, and the word I'm talking about, and all of you will know it, is the N-word. I'm just going to go ahead and lay it out there. I'm playing all my cards out there this morning because I'm sick and tired of racism. I want you to listen to me. Hear me, dear friends. If that's the fact, well, that's just, it was okay to say it back then. So are we going to say in 50 years, well, when we finally realize, well, homosexual marriage is wrong, but we say, oh, but it was okay back then. What's the difference? There is no difference. You know why? Because the only cure for racism is the gospel, and the gospel hasn't changed since Jesus gave it. Son, it's true. I love the gospel. I love the nature of the gospel. What it does is invades brokenness. It invades mistrust. It invades anger. It invades unforgiveness. It invades hate. It invades the fracturing of relationships, of racism. And it enters into that brokenness and it reconciles it. That's what the gospel does. Race. What is race? Race is skin color. That's what race is. Skin color and certain features. Racism is seeing your race as superior to that of others. It is a dehumanization of another person and another group of people. Racism is a pursuit of power of one group of individuals over another based on race. So being a racist says, I must stay away from or I must control that group of people because they are different or they are inferior, in order to not be contaminated and preserve my own sense of superiority. But Jesus has been victorious over all of those sins. Amen? So let's do this. Galatians chapter 3. And here's what I want to do. We're only going to read one verse of Scripture. And you may say, well, it doesn't really go along with your sermon. Well, it will at the end. So you'll see that. So please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Galatians chapter 3. Now, let me go ahead and say this. I got a lot of material. Okay, when we began the study for this and they began, my staff said that your issue is not going to be finding material. It's going to be having length to preach it. So, all right, here we go. Now, I want you to listen. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Can we just put racism right there? Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Heavenly Father, thank you for being love. Thank you, God, for challenging us and showing us in your word how to walk in humility and in love, but God, in boldness. And God, we as a church should not be dumb to the issue of racism. And we should be the biggest, Lord, we should stand against it more than anybody in this world, because we realize that Jesus, we are all Gentiles unless we're a Jew. And you came first to seek and to save the Jew. So we're all grateful for grace and for it coming to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It takes everybody's efforts to deal with racism. Now I want you to listen to me. Racism is not a black-white thing. It's not a Latino-Asian thing. Racism is a sin thing. Racism is a sin thing. And so it's going to take all of our efforts from the beginning of time. Satan has done everything he can to cause different races to hate one another. Please understand that. From the beginning of time, he has done everything he can to cause different races to hate one another. Still today, listen to this statement. The most segregated time in all of the week is Sunday morning. Still to this day is Sunday morning. And understand, it was crazy, man. So I'm at this church and I'm doing this visitation program. They'd never had a visitation program. And I'm saying, hey, look here. Now we're going to go out and we're going to knock on doors, man. We're just going to knock on doors. And it was a Saturday morning. We had a lot of people show up. And they said, okay. I said, here's what I want you to do. Knock on the door. Hey, I'm Chad Grayson. I'm from so-and-so Baptist Church. And man, we'd just like to come and pray with you and invite you to church. That's it. I mean, we didn't go into any other detail. That's all I wanted you to say. Yes, ma'am. What do we do if we come to a house and they're black? Just listen. And I said, hey, it's a great question. Great question. Same thing you did to the house that was white. Sunday mornings. And you know what I've noticed? Just hear me. I'm not fussing at us. White people are a whole lot more accepted in a church where blacks are worshiping than where whites are worshiping and black comes in. I'm not going to be ignorant to the fact that I realize that in America, there have been certain privileges given to white people. Guys, if you disagree with me, you disagree with facts. Now, I'm not saying you didn't work hard. I'm not saying that what you had, you didn't work hard for. I praise God for that. But I'm telling you, there are certain other people of different skin color who have worked just as hard, and they have not had the same privilege that we have because of our skin color. So here's what I want to do. Really quick. And I'll email any of you these notes, okay? I'll show you where I got my facts, my quotes, and all that. But I want you to hear this. The first thing I want to do, I want to take us back to the beginning, okay? Because we've got to set the foundation. So number one, the creation of race. The creation of race. You say, what do you mean by that? Go back all the way back to the first book, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And look with me in verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, let us, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. There we go. Listen to that. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So here's number one. We know this. We were made in the image of God. We were made in the image of God. Listen to me. Not just white people. All people were created in the image of God, and it is his design that they look different. I'm going to show you that in a minute. I'm going to show you that we have different races, and all the different races was not a result of the curse. The reason we have different races is because God intended for it to be that way. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. John 13:35 says, by what? You shall know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Not just certain races, but every single person. Loving someone means choosing to act in a way that makes another person feel that they matter. It makes them feel that they are valued. God feels this way about every single person. Think about this. When you choose to love someone, you're telling them, you matter to me. God proved that we matter to Him when He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. Is there a greater proof that all lives matter than John 3:16? So if God made all lives in His image, then humanity is higher than and greater than anything else that God made. It's whether it's plants, animals, monkeys, fish, or reptiles. God made the world, and humanity is not equal to any other part of His creation. It is superior. So regardless of what anybody else says to you, God says that we were all made in His image. Everybody. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe growing up in the deep South some of the things that I've heard about people and evolution and where certain races have come from. Listen to me. It is downright sinful and hellish. So every human being has dignity and every human being has value. And compared to everything else, it is superior. I want you to hear me. So here's what I want to do. So under this creation of race, notice sameness. Sameness. We're all same. Genesis 1:26 says we were all made. That means we all bleed red. Every person belongs to the human race and has the same roots. Every human belongs to the human race and has the same roots. You say, prove that, Pastor. Okay, listen to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. Listen to this. Acts 17, 26. And He, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Listen to that again. And He, God, made from one blood every nation. Are y'all ready for this? The word nation is the Greek word ethnos, which means ethnic groups. God made from one man, Adam, every ethnic group, every nation. This means the different ethnic groups and races are not a result of a curse. Many theologians, many pastors, many scholars have voiced their opinions that said the different races you see are a result of the curse. They were wrong. According to Acts 17:26, the ethnicities, the races are here by design by God. Warren Wiersbe said this, in the same way that He created all of His creation with diversity and beauty and glory from the top to the bottom, so He created the highest of His creation with diversity. We all come from Adam. That means Adam's my daddy. That means Adam's your daddy. That means Adam's everybody's daddy. You know the question, who's your daddy? Adam. You say, what do you mean by that? If you do one of those, you say, man, I want to find my family tree. I want to trace my ancestry all the way back. Can I just save you a lot of money and time? Adam. Adam. What color was Adam? Well, it says God made him from the soil there in Eden. And according to what scholars say, the soil there is very rich, so it's very black. So he was probably blacker than the blackest person you could find in the Sudan. Then He created Eve from a rib. The rib was kind of a white, ivory color. So she may look like she was from Ireland. That's bad theology. I'm just saying, hey, it could be. Could have been Adam black and Eve white. I don't know. All I know is that from them, though, every single person that is alive came to be about. Every person. Human beings were created to know God, to love God, to glorify Him. We were created to worship Him, to know Him, to love Him, to enter into a relationship with Him. And that's why every human being was made. God Himself is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? But He is one. The Lord our God, He is one, and yet He is three. I want you to watch this. God is one, unity. God is three, diversity. Why wouldn't He create His creation? Why wouldn't His creation reflect the same unity? We're all from the same blood, but diversity. We're different races. God's design is that we all, amidst unity and diversity, worship Him. Number two, not only sameness, but diversity. In Genesis 2, remember, He created Adam, and then He created Eve. Male, female, different as they could be, distinct, yet they would become one. And their descendants would represent the ethnic groups of the world. As you say, Pastor Chad, what is your point? God made us to live in relationship with people not like us for His glory and by His design. Listen to me. You couldn't get any more different than a man and a woman. That was not supposed to be taken that way. I promise you would. It was not. But my point is made. If God made male and God made female and yet made them one, I want you to hear me. All races, we should be able to have relationship and fellowship with all races. Number two, the creation of race. Number two, the cause of racism. The cause of racism. And folks, we all have a common enemy, Satan. Genesis 3 makes that clear when we find the first mention of him. He's in the garden and he begins to doubt God right away. Has God really said, and he wants to destroy mankind? He realizes that if he could stop that seed that God was going to send, which is Jesus, if he could stop it all throughout the Old Testament. Can I tell you, one of the themes of the Old Testament is not only the promise and the coming of the Messiah, but it's also the plan of Satan to try to stop every single time at the lineage of Christ. He tried to stop it. Satan hates God. Satan hates white people. Satan hates black people. Satan hates Asians. Satan hates Hispanics. Satan hates Indians. He hates the world. And as one preacher said, Lucifer 3:16 says, Satan so hated the world. And when he sings to his demonic children late at night, this is his tune. Satan hates the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are all despicable in his sight. Let's kill them all. Let's cause as much racial strife and ethnic genocide as we can. And let's give the people that lead them a lot of leverage and a lot of degrees and a lot of power. Tell me that's not what we're living in today. When we adopted Asher, I was talking to Lenore this week because I was trying to remember this. When we adopted Asher, I can remember one family just saying, where are you adopting from? And we said, Taiwan. And here's what they said. Well, why don't you just adopt one of your own? I understand what they meant by that. Who's my own? My race? So is my race the only ones that is worthy to be adopted? I mean, what does that mean? Who are your own? Is it your race? Are those your own? Your ethnicity, your culture, is that your own? Listen, our own children are the children in Ukraine, in Africa, in India, in Guatemala, in Russia, in Montreal, in America, right here in Missouri. They are our own. But why do we see them and separate based on them? Why do we do that? Because we have an enemy. And racism, listen to me, racism is a sin thing. It's a sin thing. You've got to get that in your heart. I'm sick and tired. Like I told you earlier in this message, when people say, oh, but it was just something that we did. No wonder many churches have publicly repented of racism in their churches. I was told about a couple in this church who adopted some African-American children. Now you hear me. Listen to me, Ridgecrest, who I love, I'm telling you, the greatest church in the world. I love you. But I was told of so many racial comments that were made to this couple because they adopted three African-American children. I pray to God, if it was one of you, repent of that sin. Man. Listen, this thing hasn't changed. Number three, the cure for racism. What's the cure for racism? Are you ready? It's good. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel that God sent His Son to die for sinners like you and like me. Listen to this. Oh, this is good. Do you know that God sent Jesus to die for racists? He sent God to die for racists. He sent God to die for rebels. And Jesus lived a perfect life of holiness and righteousness and justice and love. And He did not deserve to die, but He went to the cross and He took upon the sin of racism. so that you and I may be set free. And when he said it is finished, it was enough to make all races one. Jesus' finished work on the cross, when he took the fury and the judgment of God's wrath that you and I deserved, and he was our substitute. He was crushed for our iniquities, but he was raised for the glory of God to have victory over death, hell, and the grave and racism. Jesus is victorious over them all, and he loves you. Listen to me. Dear race, if you're a racist in this room right now, he loves you. He died for that sin. No matter what you've done, the cross is enough. Let me give you two ways, speaking of the cure, how God loves us. Number one, God the Father loves us deeply. Now get ready, because we're about to enter into some theology here and some doctrine. Turn over to Ephesians. God the Father loves us deeply. If you're saved, that means that the one true God is your Father. Did you hear what I just said? If you're saved in here today, the one true God is your Father. The one true God is your Father. He's a father to the fatherless. He praise God that I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Grayson. I'm going to heaven because I'm a disciple of my Heavenly Father, God. Amen? Listen to Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here we go. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Christians, we know that God, not only, we know him as not only as creator, as we learned last week, but we also know him as Father. Now, here's what I put right here. He loves us deeply. He loves all human race deeply. Red and yellow, black and white. All human race. Every people group he loves. I just saw the terrifying, horrible pictures of 25, some say that were probably boys, 10-year-old boys, holding guns to 25 captives, ISIS terrorists, 25 of them holding guns to Syrian soldiers, and these young boys with guns in their hands, and they executed every one of them. That's what ISIS is doing. But can I say this? Listen to me. Let's put it in its context. The Apostle Paul was a member of the first century group ISIS. If you want to put it in its context, you say, "What do you mean?" Yeah. Do you understand that they're getting all these ideas of execution? Do you know what they did to Christians in the first century? Do you know what they did to Christians in the second century? And if God can save a Saul of Tarsus and turn him into Paul the Apostle, he can take one of those 10-year-old boys. That's what we ought to be praying. Instead of saying, "Oh, don't take the gospel over there to them. Oh, listen, we're leaving in just a few months and we're going to the Middle East. I'm leading a group to the Middle East." And some of the people have said, "Oh, why are you doing that? It's dangerous over there." So it's okay for us to have one of our own over there. But it's not okay for us to go over there and minister to them and help them and spread the gospel. Do you know that you, dear friend, are immortal until God is through with you? You cannot sneak up on God. I can't. So what? If I die while I'm over there, here's what you'll know. It was his time. If I die before I go, it was his time. All human race. Now turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Listen to this. Ephesians 1 verse 4. I'll get a running start. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Just as he chose us. Us. Not just white people. Those who are going to call upon him, those in Africa, those in Europe, those in Canada, those in Turkey, those in Australia, those in America, those in Central America, us. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us. He marked out our line to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. God the Father chose us. He predestined us. He loved us and we are part now of His perfect plan. All the human race. Remember, this is the cure for racism. If we would stop looking through our eyes of color. Now, we do see color, yes, because it's diversity and God made it that way. So stop saying, I don't see color. Yes, you do. It's what makes us different. You know what we ought to do? When we see color, celebrate the fact that, praise God, we're all different, but yet we're all saved by the same blood. You say, I don't see color. Then, son, you're going to be in trouble when we get to heaven. Get over there and read Revelation 21. The different colors that's going to be seen. Now, keep on going down to verse 6. Listen to this. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I read this verse this morning. And I did a little dance in my office. I want y'all to listen to this. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Hey, I want y'all to look right up here at me. You may be sitting here this morning, you may say, I've been hurt by racial comments, or I've said racial comments. Number one, there's healing and forgiveness for you. But can I just say this? I don't care how depressed you get in here. I don't care how down you get. If you are saved, you are accepted. Don't miss that. You are accepted in the beloved. God accepted you. That means He approved you. That means He received you. You, Mr. Sinner, who still has as much sin in you to condemn you to hell. God the Father says you've been accepted in the beloved. Good night. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. There it is. He made known to us the mystery of His will. What is it? According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Listen to this. God's eternal plan is to unite all people in Christ. Are y'all listening to me? All people in Christ. It's not enough to say, well, I'm going to wait and worship with them when I get to heaven. If you have a problem, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and you better bring your Bibles to back it up. If you got a problem worshiping with people of different races down here, you're not going to heaven. And I'm going to back that up in a minute with Scripture. Because I don't want everyone to give you my opinion. I want to back it up with Scripture. So God loves us deeply. Oh, Ephesians 1 tells us He loves us deeply. Number two, this is good. God loves us personally. God the Father loves us personally. Remember, this is the cure for racism. He loves us personally. When He calls someone into His family, He calls them by name. Wayne, come to me. Judy, come to me. Travis, come to me. Lenora, come to me. Listen to Ephesians 4:1. Listen to this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk. Oh, this is so good. Listen to me. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Pastor, I don't think I've been called. Then listen to the Spirit of God during the invitation, during this time right now. I'm telling you, the Father has sent the Son to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you hear the Spirit's calling, give your life to Christ now and walk worthy of that calling, that you are a child of God. I already showed you His plan was to unite all people to walk in His light. In light of the fact that God has loved you and called you, walk worthy of that. Listen to me, our lives should demonstrate the Father's love. We must stop the hate. We must stop the hate. You say, what do you mean? Man, this hate for our fellow brother or sister. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall have eternal life. Listen to me. God rescued Satan's victims in Jesus. Remember, Satan, Lucifer 3:16 says he hates the world. John 3:16 says God loves the world. I'm telling you, the song that we should sing really is, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Number four, there's a celebration for all races. A celebration for all races. Listen to this. So remember, so you have the creation of race, the cause of racism, the cure for racism, but the celebration for all races. Philippians 3:20 says that we are citizens of heaven. Abraham said in Hebrews 11:10 that he said he was looking forward by faith to a city, listen to this, whose architect and builder is God. Our ultimate citizenship is not Missouri. Our ultimate citizenship is not any city or state. Our ultimate citizenship, if you are a Christian, is heaven, where we're heaven born because we're going heaven bound. It's the New Jerusalem. And God the Father's diverse people are ultimately members of one family. Turn to Ephesians 2. Now, I've read all of Ephesians 2 to you one time, if you remember that. We just read the whole, we're not going to read all of it. We're going to read some of it. Because I'm telling you, this is a cause for celebration right here. Y'all ready? This is a cause for celebration right here. Listen to verse 13. Ephesians 2, 13. But now, in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Please pay attention to that. Don't just read over that. Who are the you? Gentiles. Well, I'm not a Gentile. I'm a red-blooded American. You're a red-blooded Gentile who happened to be born in America. Two races, Gentile, Jews. Listen to me. When it comes to it, there's Gentiles and there's Jews. If you are a non-Jew, that means you're a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you were far off from Christ. But through the blood, he's brought you near. For he himself, verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Praise God. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation or hostility. That wall there were several different areas that only Jews could go, that only Gentiles could go. But now God has said, through Jesus, I've broken down that wall. I've made all one. Listen to this. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Hey, are y'all hearing me? Yes, we see color, but if we're in Christ, we're one. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off. That's what he did to me and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Today, every Asian that will get saved, every black person to get saved, every Hispanic to get saved, every race that will get saved will come to him through one Savior, Jesus. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Oh, my goodness. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. One household, one family. Hey, can I just, we're blood brothers. You know when you were little? I hope you never did this. You cut your hand, somebody else cut the hand, blood brothers. Praise God that his hands were pierced, and because of that, we're blood brothers. Lastly, first time I've ever had 5 points and finished it, so I want you to listen to me. We're done. Listen to this. Listen. I've given you a lot of information, but I'm the pastor of Ridgecrest. I can't tell Washington Avenue what to do. I can't tell Second Baptist what to do. I can't tell James River what to do. I'm the pastor of Ridgecrest. So here's lastly, a challenge for Ridgecrest. A challenge for Ridgecrest. What is it? Listen to this. Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Listen to what Matt Chandler said. Matt Chandler said this, the secret of sanctification that nobody wants to talk about is it hurts. To be matured by God is a painful process, or you're doing it wrong. It's the constant exposing of the wickedness in our hearts before a holy God to be confessed and repented of. That's how we grow. That's how we're sanctified. And that's what we must do around this issue of racism if we have any real hope of becoming the picture of God's people in a way that most magnifies the beauty of His name. Listen to 1 John 4:10, and I added some stuff in there in the message. Listen to this. If anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his black, white, Asian, Hispanic brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the black, white, Asian, Hispanic person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving black, white, Asian, Hispanic people. Listen to me, if you cannot call me brother and sister, or you cannot call a different person of race brother and sister, you cannot call God our Father. And can I just say this? Can I just be real with you? It's hard work. This is going to be hard. Listen, it's going to be hard. It's going to be very, very hard. We must be clothed in humility. You better wake up every morning and put on the armor of God and make sure you read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you are emulating, you are walking in shoe leather the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you will not be able to do this. Listen to what Russell Moore said. We must walk in self-control. In other words, we're going to be provoked. We're going to be provoked. We're going to be sinned against. There's going to be challenges. And Christians are going to fail. There's going to be tensions and conflicts. But you've got to bear with one another in love. That's what he says. Bear with one another in love. The word love, there's the Greek word agape. It means God-like love, supernatural love. God, help me to love. Help me to love beyond my own capacity. Help me to love in light of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Help me to love through your grace. And finally, David Platt said this, God, in consummation, will bring people from every tribe, tongue, and nation and unite all things in Christ, and they will praise Him and worship Him and give Him glory. And they will do it from every tribe, tongue, nation, every color, every shade. And if you oppose that, listen to this, that gentleman that told my Uncle Bill that he wouldn't do that, that's just flat out racism. He ought to be punched in Jesus' name. But listen. But the gentleman that called me about should his daughter date a Hispanic person, I just looked at, he ought to be lovingly educated on it. And that's what I'm trying to do. We ought to be lovingly educated. But I'm telling you, if you oppose going to heaven with a certain color, a certain different race, you oppose the very God of the universe and His plan from the beginning of time. Have you been hurt? Have you been hurt? Have you had things said about you? Have you said things about somebody else? Listen to this. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shape them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hey, have you shed tears? Hey, are y'all listening to me? He'll wipe away every tear that is a result of racist comments. He will wipe away every tear of things that we have done and that we've repented over and that we've said. He'll wipe away all of those tears. Can I just say this? There are no racists in heaven. And Ridgecrest Baptist Church, can we be the first people to go out in the Springfield and surrounding area? Can people look at Ridgecrest and say this? Listen, if somebody says, you go to a white church, just say this. Oh, no, I go to it's a church that, of sinners that have been saved. And man, we're just trying to get. There's no such thing as a white church, black church, Hispanic church. No difference. There's the body of Christ. There's one church according to the word. But can we be the people who lead out against racism? Can Ridgecrest? I mean, today we'll have almost 2,000 people worship on this campus. If we would decide right now, and it's not enough. Listen to me. It's not enough just to say, so Pastor, you want me to just go up to a black person and say, James, everybody's going to come up to you and say, hey, give me your phone number. I want to be friends with you now. That's not enough. That's not enough. But can I say this? It's a start. If all you do is hang around white people, listen to me. It's a start. I'm just being honest with you. We've got to. It's not enough just to say, well, let's just get some and start coming to black, white, Hispanic, whatever. Let's just get some different color in our church. It's not just enough to say, oh, I'll worship with a couple of people that look different with me. Let's live life. I'm telling you, dear friends, listen to me. We as a body of Christ ought to look like heaven. But that doesn't mean just coming together on Sunday. That means as we treat one another out there. Here's the invitation. If you've never been saved, single greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is to repent of your sins and be saved. And I want to tell you this. A racist, according to 1 John 4, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we need to repent this morning of racism. If it's in your heart, I'm telling you, I'm praying that my own family back home watches this sermon, because I know a lot of them do. Let's pray.